Welcome to everyone who have come to worship. Now, the first week of December, we can feel the Christmas atmosphere all around us, and you have decorated your tree. And outside, on the mall, and everywhere, we see the lights. 20 years ago, or 25 years ago, when we came to this country, I thought that the spirit of Christmas is very soon. The belief of Christmas, after the Thanksgiving celebration, we can see all the lights around start growing up. All the shop has Christmas music. But recently, we see that then the decoration becomes faster. And then even the music has been now not as much as before. However, the fact of the Christmas is a mystery that we can think together through this message. I also welcome our friends who come to worship with us today as well. And some of us have been absent for a long time now. When we have a friend or a new friend to come and worship, are you happy about that? Yes, absolutely. We are very encouraged when we see a friend to come and worship with us. However, there's a story of a small resort area along the East Coast. This was having an open town meeting that were concerned some financial problems that they were facing in that town. Among the 2 dozen or so people, he was one man. No one seemed to know who was apparently visiting the area and had just dropped in on the meeting. They thought that was just a visitor and say, I saw this person, part of the meeting. He started to make a comment as various projects were considered and discussed, but he was always interrupted. And the financial issue was discussed, and he proposed some comments to change these projects. He said a few words, but then many people interrupted him because he didn't know who he was. So for the rest of the time, he kept still and finally sit there, and finally he left early. Just as he went out, someone arriving late came in and said breathlessly, what was he doing here? Is he going to help us out? Yeah, what was he doing here? That was a stranger. What was he doing here? Is he helping us in any way? The rest of them said, who are you talking about? Who was that man? The person had just arrived said, you don't know who that was? That was John D. Rockefeller, the king of oil. He is invested in oil, a billion. And that night he came to help talk about the financial issue of the town. That night they missed an incredible opportunity because they did not know who he was. Dear congregation, Jesus came into the world is something wonderful. But what we have read in the passage in John chapter 1, verse 10 to 11, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. I thought that this is very sad. If we are missing someone, we are very sad. But when Jesus came to the world that he had made himself, that world did not receive him. When the Lord Jesus came to the one who created for himself, the one create the carry his image, but they did not recognize him or receive him. Today, becoming to December, we think about the lesson related to the Christmas. We think about the mystery of Jesus today. And the key verse said, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's pray for the guidance about this mystery of Christmas. We're thankful, Lord, our Creator, our Lord, and express your love when you gave Jesus into this world to help us to understand about the Lord in a clear way, and that with this salvation plan above our imagination to save us from the darkness, power of darkness. Allow us to come back to remember that our heart be thankful truly, so that we think about your love in this Christmas season to see the happiness when God is with us. God Emmanuel, you have come that many times we have been quiet and did not accept you. And because of us, you have come that many times we rejected you. So may your words this morning will explain to our heart what the mystery of the Christmas season. We are thankful. Please lead us into all truth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Based on John, the key verse, we would like to think about the three mysteries about Christmas. First is that Jesus came for the whole world. The second is that Jesus came for the believers. And the third is that Jesus came to change lives. So the first point is Jesus came for all. The first mystery, the key verse said, to all who receive him. In this world, when Jesus came to express the love of the Father and the salvation to the world, and the world did not receive him. Nobody wanted to receive him. And the king said, but whoever has received him. And the birth of Jesus is not something that happened by chance. This is the salvation plan of God, that Jesus must come into the world to bring and die on the cross and sacrifice for our sin. That has been promised from when Adam and Eve was created, or has fallen. When Adam and Eve committed sin, the first two humans on the world have committed sin. And when Jesus must come into the world, has been repeated many, many times in the Old Testament, in on the generation in the past. And God created this love in this salvation plan, that is, 4,000 years ago, God had chosen one person. And he said to that person, from there, I will create a nation from you. And that person was Abraham. Abraham was not a perfect person. He was born in the sinful world. His family worshiped idols. He also worshiped idols. But when God called him out, detach himself from your family, from your nation that were working idols, to become a person worshiping the Lord. Then the Lord caused him to become a nation, a great nation. And this is an old person, 75 years old, that God said that. When God has promised something, he will carry out his promise on this person. Abraham responded to his calling. He did not return to his family. And he detached, and that's the family. He would not worship my God. Now, he called, responded to the calling of God. God has used Abraham, even though he was also already old. But God, he caused him, his wife, to have a son when he was already 75. From that son, God create a nation, and this is the nation of Israel that we know today. Abraham is the forefather of Israel, created by the nation of Israel. God has chosen this people from this descendant of Abraham. There will be one person. There will be a being. There will be a prophet among this nation, and that is someone has chosen, and that is the salvation plan. And God told Abraham, all the nations will be blessed through the descendant of Abraham. And the congregation, so this nation that God has chosen, he suffered this under many attacks. They were exiled. They were wiped out of the map of the world. And even though they were dispersed in many nations, God would not let this nation be destroyed. Jesus has become a Jew, born as a Jew. And 2,000 years ago, God has there used the womb of Joseph and Mary, and from a womb of a virgin named Mary, that he could be born through this Virgin Mary. And there were so many schemes of the devil to destroy the salvation plan, to destroy the families that destroyed this son. But Jesus was born. He became a person like us. Jesus became a person like who to express the salvation grace of the Lord. And the problem is that Jesus born in a nation that nation was not formed yet, and that promise has already was there. The promise that Jesus is born by a Virgin Mary, and before even the forefathers of that, before they were exist, that promise has been written. The promise about Jesus must suffer on the cross to pay for our sin. Even the death, even before, has that punishment. Isn't that a mystery? Isn't that amazing? What God has used a person to the nation, and the punishment that person will be suffered, that is somebody, there was none of that existence yet. The promise already there. The cross was not there, and because of his faithfulness, Jesus has come into the world. Jesus comes into the world, not just for a few. Jesus came to everyone, the whole world. And so the verse said, as yet who did receive him, and the salvation is something that God just planned for certain people. The salvation of Jesus is not limited for only a few good persons. No, the salvation is for everybody who are present in this earth. But whoever received him, how can we receive him? In Romans chapter 10 verse 9, explain to us. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 5, 10, verse 9. There are two things that require of us. First, that is, our mouth must pronounce Jesus is Lord. The second, our heart to receive and be raised from the dead. And the fact that God, Jesus, that has some relationship. There must be a relationship. So the faith of a person put in the Lord based on that he sacrificed on the cross. And then we put our trust in him. A person we see God is someone see the need, the spiritual need in our heart, and always need for the Lord to resolve that issue. A person we see the Lord that we could not save ourselves. and meet someone who can sacrifice on the cross to save us. You and I can receive the spiritual need inside of us that there is someone who died for us that can lift our sinful nature away. There's a story of a teacher teaching a drawing class, and that project that is free. You can draw anything you want on your paper, and there is one person did not want to draw. So every time at the time of this class, he was very uncomfortable in class. But at that time, for everybody to draw something on the ground, and the teacher saw this person draw a few lines on the paper, and then he was sitting there, and the teacher said, "Why didn't you draw anything? And I have drawn a picture already." And the teacher, "What did you draw?" "I draw a lion and capturing a prey and eat the prey." And the teacher said, "And where is the prey in your picture?" "Oh, the lion just ate it." "And where is the lion in the drawing?" "Oh, he took the prey and he walked away. He's no longer there in the picture." And so all these lines, what does it mean? These are the remaining hairs of the lion who walked away already. When that person, that student did not want to draw, he has all kinds of excuses not to draw. The same way, when a person did not want to receive Christ, they use all kinds of excuses to reject Christ and his salvation. With this world, the reason teach us what? Religion teaches nobody can save ourselves. Nobody save us. We have to save ourselves. But is it true that religion teaches to say we have to save ourselves? Or the congregation, how many times we see that a drowning person can save themselves? Have you seen one? Or have you seen somebody who has a stroke that can save himself? Hardly. Have you ever known that somebody who has the heart attack can save themselves? Hardly. So that when we are saying that we are in sin, we could not save ourselves. And that is very crazy, because the loss in the world is even worse than the one who has like medical genes. And worse than a person to have stroke or heart attack. So that never thought that we could save ourselves from our sin. You would never be able to save yourself. And because of that, so the Bible said Jesus has come into this world so that whoever received him, whoever received him to accept the way of salvation, just like a drown need a float to use or a hand to lift them up out of the water, or who had been struck, then go into the hospital right away to know, understand, and cure, or a heart attack, must go into emergency room to be saved. Nobody can save themselves. So a person or lost in sin never think that we could save ourselves. Jesus came for everyone, but the salvation only for those who believe. The first mystery of Christmas is this: the salvation is for everyone, but whoever allow and accept to receive Christ. The second point, that Jesus came for those who believe. Whoever received him, to those who believe in his name. The congregation, the response for everyone to respond to the salvation to receive Christ. If God requires, you have to have money to come. I think that only a few would have money to come to Jesus. If God requires you to have knowledge, and only a few of us is that kind of knowledge to satisfy the requirement. If God has something that God requires of us based on our effort, and only a few of us could satisfy that requirement. But when God said, whoever receives, believe, whoever can do this, everybody can exercise this belief. Young or old, woman or man, the poor or the rich can always believe, can respond, the learned or the unlearned. So belief means it's a condition that requires that everybody can respond to. And belief is something is practical that tries to connect us between us and God. It is evidence. And so going to church doesn't mean that we believe yet. It's something from there, our heart, that we turn our toward God to receive the Lord. There is a relationship between us and the Lord. What do we believe? I believe in Jesus. But how is that belief? He came to the nation Israel and then paid the price of blood. That knowledge of would save us or not. That kind of knowledge would save us or not. If you believe in Jesus to come to in Israel, that nail on the cross, that knowledge does not save you. So what do we believe before we can be saved? That Jesus, whoever believes in the name of the Lord, how do we believe in the name of Jesus? When Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago, and that Jesus is something only many others have this name Jesus. Now Joshua is also has a meaning Jesus in it. So there are many other persons carry the name Jesus with them. And to distinguish, this Jesus is different from the other Jesus, that they use something second next to the name to designate that this is the Jesus. And we say this Jesus, we know that Jesus. And so they distinguish the name Jesus. For example, in the Bible, we saw there are two James in there. There are two James names. One is James, the son of Isaac. But James is son of Zebedee. And so when they talk about James, there is some things that follow the name to distinguish them between one James to another James. So that we can see. Or some other kind of name, the James, the brother, or other kind of a description. When Jesus, Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, because that's where he grew up. When we say Jesus of Nazareth, everybody understood that's the Jesus, the one who came from God, who carried the punishment on the cross. And so our faith that we believe in the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus of Nazareth, is some and not just a name calling, or just we have a name like ourselves to distinguish us from others, but the name of Jesus of Nazareth has also has the power of the Lord of God. When the lepers called Jesus, Jesus, son of David, and that means that Jesus is different from other Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And then the power of that will cure the leper. When a blind tongue says, dear Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the power of Jesus can open the eyes of the blind. When a woman from Canaan, dear Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me, on my daughter who has been, she was possessed by demon to be healed. So we will say the name of Jesus, and Jesus said, Nazareth, that means the Jesus is God become man. Jesus, that is God become man. That name of Jesus is not just a common name, but the name of Jesus has a power to save, to heal. And so when the apostle continued the job of Jesus on the earth, and Peter and John and came to the temple, saw a cripple there that they put there, he was born that way. He was born crippled. And before that, when they came to the temple, they have seen this cripple there. What did they say? They couldn't do anything to him. But from when Jesus gave the power, the name of Jesus Christ, that by this name, you can cast out in devils. You can heal the sickness, to say the strange language, to praise the Lord. And when Jesus returned to the all the apostles can use the language that they never knew about. They can cast out demons. They can do miracles. So when the cripple was sitting there at the temple, and every week they saw this man, and now the power of the Lord, the name of Jesus Nazareth, they say, by the name of Jesus that I heal you, rise up. And immediately the cripple rises up. The name of Jesus gives us the power, has the power to save and to heal. And today, if you call onto my name, we have the name of Jesus so that we can pray. When you pray, whatever you ask, you will receive. When you call on my name, I will do it for you, Jesus said. By his name, Jesus said, whenever you receive a child because of my name, and immediately you have received me. When you use my name to give someone just a cup of water, you will not lose your reward in heaven. Jesus said, when you use my name, you can cast out evil. You can do miracles. So the name of Jesus to give us, believe in us, in Jesus, to can do wonderful things in our life. Maybe we do not understand the salvation, the wonderful salvation God, that our life did not believe yet. There's a story of Paul Harvey about a Christmas story. Paul Harvey said the story of one man who finally understood the significance of the Christmas story. This family had a Christmas Eve tradition where the mother and the children would go to the Christmas Eve service and the father would stay home and read the paper. The reason that he said, a God become a baby is very strange, illogical. He couldn't explain it. So he thought it is illogical. And because he did not go and worship in the Christmas time, when the family returned, they would all gather to open up their present. The father was not an evil man, but he just couldn't believe it in the childhood story anymore of God coming as a baby in the region. As the family left for church, he opened up the evening paper and began to read by the fireplace. Suddenly he heard tapping on the window. It was a bird flying against the glass, trying to get out of the snow into the warmth of the house. And so the bird was stuck there, and he was hitting against the bird was hitting the window. And the man had compassion on the bird, and he went outside hoping to bring it in. As he approached the bird, it flew against the window even harder, trying to get away. The more the man tried to reach the bird, the more frantically the bird flew to get away from him, finally getting trapped in the bushes below the window. After a few minutes in the cold and seeing the bird continue to interest, the man said in frustration, "Stupid bird, can't you understand that I'm trying to help you?" The man paused and thought, if I only could become a bird and get you to understand, then you wouldn't fly away from me. Just as the church bell rang, as they always did on the hour. But when the man heard the bell this time, he fell to the knees and began crying, saying, "Oh God, I didn't understand. Oh God, I did not understand." Many of us, that night, he understood the meaning, how God can become human. He came, "Oh, now, I understand. Now I believe." The congregation, we must understand, why did God come to the world to become human beings? That the power of salvation can be in us. Many of us have heard about Christ, but salvation can only for whoever believes in the name of the Lord Jesus. Many of us, if you have not heard of Peter, that not put the faith in Jesus, in this, think about this truth, so that you can examine your belief in the Lord. The third point that we can think together is that Jesus came to change lives. How Jesus has come to the world for everyone. Jesus came to those who believe and receive him. And now change has come to change life. Whoever put in loop can change life. And the key was that yet to all who did receive, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Give the right to become children of God. This is a changed life of someone who put their trust in the Lord. The fact that we become children of God, that is something happening right now when we express our faith in him. To become children of God. Why? How? The Bible says, whoever in Christ, that person, a new creation and created and become new for the Lord. That means that person, the way we think has changed. Before, I thought about this like this, or some person out there. And just like the bird, before I thought of the Lord, how can the Lord become a baby, helpless? That's illogical. But now, I understand this truth. That God that become human, I mean, that now become a savior. And so God changed the way we think. God changed our heart, our spirit. And God changed the way we live, our lifestyle. And because to become a child of God, not because of our selection, our choice, but because of the power of the Lord that changed our life. When we come to the church, does not change ourselves. But a person to receive the Lord, to personally have a relationship that receives Jesus into our heart, and that power will change our lives. That's how we become a child of God. It's a change of life. We are used to this logic recently. If I build something like a chair, a table, I'm a carpenter, or I make some dress, I become a dressmaker. If I do something wrong, who am I called? I am called a sinner. When they are based on what we do, they give me a name, right? So, when we go to the church, I am a Christian. Is it right? When I go and talk about the Bible, they say that I'm a pastor. Is that right? When I live a good life, I am a holy person. Is that right? No. In this world, a person, we call him a carpenter who built a table and chair, but because we go to church, that we are a Christian, a child of God. Why? Because become the child of God is the power of God. not our effort, not because of our choice that we go to church that caused us to become a child of God. So the Bible let us know that to become a child of God, a Christian, the holy person to become a child of God, that must have the power of God that changed my life. I can become a child of God. Many times we feel proud about our position in the church. Many Christians feel proud because we are morally better than others, because we are more gentle than others. Feel proud because we did not do anything other than we do the best things. We are proud of our church. We are proud of our organization. However, to become a child of God, not because of us, must be God gave us the power to change us, to become a Christian, a child of God. There's a church in New Jersey. In when the gospel, there is a preacher come to that church to preach the gospel. And so in that church, they made some flyers. One church, in New Jersey, in the 1800s, they put up posters, handed out handbills, invited everyone they could to come to the meetings where a well-known evangelist gave power messages. And this one is a very powerful evangelist. And at the end of the service, a number of people came down front at the invitation, and one of the person to walk down the aisle was a prostitute who was well known in the community. A prostitute came down according to the invitation to accept Christ. It was obvious she was truly repentant, and she was weeping openly, and the audience was pleased to see a change that was taking place in her. But then it became apparent that she wanted to join their church, and the sanctuary became deathly quiet as everyone realized what this meant. This was a prostitute, a woman of low repute. They didn't mind her coming to Christ. They just didn't want her to become to her coming to their church. The church did not welcome a prostitute. They are happy that she received Christ. And when that person become a membership, how would people say to us, this church, how would we be condemned when we see a prostitute in our midst, in that same congregation? So they refused her membership in the church. And at the same congregation was a name, Samuel Colgate. Colgate was the founder of the Colgate business, which is the toothpaste that was famous. And that's the same Colgate at that time. He received Christ, and he's a part of that church membership. And so he watched this little drama unfold before him, and it angered him. So he stood up and said the following words. I guess we blunder when we pray that the Lord would save sinners. We forgot to specify what kind of sinner. We'd better ask him to forgive us for this oversight. The Holy Spirit has touched this woman and made her truly repentant. But the Lord apparently doesn't understand that she's not the type we want him to rescue. We'd better spell out for him just which sinners we have in mind. But this woman has been touched by the Holy Spirit, and that caused her to be repentant. Now, the Lord does not understand. Belong where this woman? Why did she save her? So we have to specify which sinner should be saved by the Lord. He said that to the congregation. Then people got the hint. immediately they realize this church belongs to the Lord, not us, not the members, the holy body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit must touch them to repent, and then the church now can welcome this woman. The power of God can change life. In our life, maybe we love to see Jesus to become a child in a manger. A wonderful picture. More than that, Jesus becomes the king of our life that we have to worship personally. Maybe we feel love to think about Jesus is a fairy tale person to come and divided the history into two, but we do not like Jesus to come into our life, to change our life, to create a new way of life in us. Many of us today feel a fuzziness of our faith. In England, Jonathan Whitefield was preaching to coal miners in England. He asked one man, "What do you believe?" He asked the question, "What do you believe?" He said, "Well, I believe the same as the church." "And what does the church believe?" And he said, "Well, they believe the same as me." Seeing he was getting nowhere, he said, "And what is that you both believe?" "Well, I suppose we believe the same thing." Dear congregation, this is a fuzzy kind of faith. It's not examined. To doesn't say definitely the relationship between us and Lord. Many people come to church, but only whoever change. And that is a child of God. The life must change. That this will where God has come. Do you understand the faith that you have before the Lord? May God bless each one of us. He comes to the whole world. Jesus came to those who put their trust in the name of Jesus. And Jesus comes to change lives. As we receive them into our heart. May God bless each one of you. And this morning is the first Sunday of the month. We will have communion to think about God's love for us to receive communion. And here we have bread and cup in your seat so that can we fellowship together in this communion. Let's all stand. We turn our heart toward God. Give thanks to Him for the mystery of Christmas that we have here. So, we can share the joy in our faith in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, who have come so that we can understand. Thank you for Jesus, for everyone, and from that we can receive salvation from Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, because you did not require anything that we could not bring, but he asked us for faith that everyone can have. And faith in the name of Jesus, that Jesus has become this world to express our God, so that that name of Jesus can change our life forever. It can change our mind. You can change our heart. You can change the way of life in us. You can change the destiny of our life. We are thankful because you have come to bring from the lost to become alive, from the darkness to come into the light of God. You came so that we live in shame, worthy of punishment, now become a glorious, carry the name of Jesus in our life. May our life that is worthy of your love for us, and pray for our friends here, those who have not received the Lord, that they can understand the mystery of Christmas. How and why Jesus came into this world. Because we could not save ourselves. We need you, Lord, to save us. Please help us to have trust in you, to receive this salvation from you. Please help each one of us in this church, even the youngest that can invite Christ into their heart. Because we know that religious activity would not save us. The thing that we participate in this organization does not save us until we have Jesus in our heart. And that Jesus can save us. Please help us, our youngster in the church, can understand this mystery. We will have communion together to represent your body and blood who sacrificed for us. And this is the reason for you to be worthy as we receive communion. We are thankful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.